When asked a question about same-sex marriage, a young contestant answers honestly.
I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman.
She is immediately attacked.
She's a dumb okay?
When a pro-marriage group expresses concerns about how same-sex marriage will impact religious groups, they are called liars and bigots.
It's no longer palatable in this country, okay, to be an outright bigot. That if you want to deny us these rights, you need to do it by lying and misrepresenting.
Gay marriage activists attack people for supporting marriage because they don't want to debate the consequences of same-sex marriage. They want to silence opposition. Some of the nation's foremost scholars warn that gay marriage can create widespread legal conflicts for individuals, small businesses, and religious organizations.
That's a new ad produced by the National Organization for Marriage. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking same-sex marriage. How is it that this young lady, Miss California, asked a question as part of the regular Miss America pageant, innocently answers with her own opinion, and she made it very clear it was her own opinion that she was stating on the nature of marriage, a heterosexual definition of marriage. How is it that she comes for such a backlash and such a verbal beating from anyone and everyone connected to the gay marriage, same-sex marriage debate? She's just stating her opinion. We're going to talk about that with Maggie Gallagher in just a moment. After our discussion of same-sex marriage, we'll talk to Jennifer Roback Morse about the hookup culture, and then I want to hear from you on the issue of torture. Do you think that Christians tolerate torture? The polls say that Christians do, at least more than the general population. They tend to have more leeway for torture and its various practices than the general population. Is that you? I want to hear from you in a half hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. My IE and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 12th of May. Maggie Gallagher is president of the National Organization for Marriage, based in Princeton, New Jersey. She's co-author of The Case for Marriage. Maggie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
A pleasure to be here. Thanks, Todd.
Are you surprised by the backlash against Carrie Prejean's statements in the Miss America pageant?
I'm surprised by how clueless these pageant officials and by gay marriage advocates generally were about how badly their treatment of Carrie was playing in the general public. I think they live in little Hollywood niches where they, you know, one of the questions asked at the press conference of Carrie today was, now that you've seen how upset gay and lesbian people are by your answer, has that caused you to rethink your views? And God bless her, Carrie just looked at them and said no. But, you know, everyone else is thinking, what do you mean? You handed this poor girl like she'd done something wrong or said something horrible, and do you think that makes her, you know, likely to change her mind? I think it's working quite the reverse. So on the one hand, I was surprised. On the other hand, since Prop 8, we've just seen a wall of hatred, and what I would say licensed hatred, because they don't get called on it. Unleashed against people, good people, who have never said or done anything wrong, but just because they spoke up and exercised their core civil rights to speak and to donate and to work for, marriage is the union of one man and one woman. And what you're seeing now, when I started in this gay marriage debate, there was a space between people who were uncivil or anti-gay and people who were in favor of our marriage tradition. And they're trying to close that space. They really do believe you are like a bigot if you think like Carrie and me that marriage means a man and a woman. And they're starting to act like everyone thinks that, and they're free to treat people however they want. As our ad says, they want to silence people rather than convince them because they don't want to debate the real consequences.
So what's at stake? Let's talk about the consequences of redefining marriage for a whole nation.
Here's what got me into this and why I stay in it in spite of the fact that you're going to get a lot of hatred directed at your way if you speak up nicely for, you know, in a civil way for God's truth about marriage. The marriage is really important to me because it's the way every known human society teaches the next generation that you have to bring together male and female to make and raise the next generation, that children need a mother and father. It's a symbol, and it stands for some deep, important truths that even people who don't believe in God consider kind of sacred. There's something about special about unions of husbands and wives, and that means that their unique status is not discrimination. It's profoundly unjust for the government to step in and try to tell the American people that they have to treat same-sex unions as marriages. They are not marriages, and it's unjust and it's unwise for the law to try to pretend that they are. So that's my first important thing that I care about. The second thing I care about is I started to think through what is going to happen if our government endorses the idea that people who think marriage is a husband and wife are like bigots who oppose interracial marriage. And there's a lot of ways. You follow that, what they're saying. You're just like a racist if you disagree with them on gay marriage. There's a lot of ways the law intervenes to repress racism, short of throwing people in jail. And I don't think clergy are going to be thrown in jail, but I think we're going to see, as we've already seen, a Christian adoption agency driven out of business by the government because they don't personally place children with gay couples. We've seen a Christian physician told by the government she has to choose between her faith and her job. If she's going to continue as a fertility doctor, she must personally impregnate lesbians and create fatherless children, whether she likes it or not. We've seen a Methodist group in New Jersey fined by the government because they did not let their property be used for a civil union ceremony. They were not a church, by the way. They were a charity. It's a little bit different. We have seen parents in Massachusetts who tried to exercise what they thought was their right to protect their children from being, their six-year-old children, from being taught about gay marriage. And we saw gay rights groups step in and vigorously assert that the government has the right and the parents have no right to prevent the government from teaching their child about gay marriage, whether they like it or not. So I think we're going to see more and more, and I can talk to you more and more about the consequences. But this is what has already happened, and we welcome this opportunity to have a serious and intellectually informed debate about what it means when we change the definition of marriage, because when the government does this, it changes it for everyone in the society.
After a victory for traditional marriage in California, hard fought, how would you explain recent defeats in Iowa, Maine, Washington, D.C., Vermont, Connecticut, and I think if you count Governor Patterson's statements about New York as well of a different caliber?
Oh,
how do you explain
ridiculous.
It?
We're fighting for New York hand and foot. What are you giving? Because Governor Patterson said something, you're giving up on New York? I'm not.
Okay.
Hey, listen, let me just tell you what happened. About 5 years ago, they picked seven courts where they thought they had the chance to win gay marriage. In Massachusetts, they lost in Maryland and Washington and the state of New York. They won in California, and we were able, my organization, the National Organization for Marriage, was able to get an amendment on the ballot so the people could overturn that decision. They won in Connecticut by court order, and there is no easy way to get it to the people of Connecticut, or I think we'd be able to overturn that. And the same thing is true with Iowa. The people of Iowa, I can tell you, they're up in arms. They don't want gay marriage. But the court so far has forced it on them, and we're not giving up in Iowa either. We're going to be going in there. It's going to be a 2 to 4 year struggle because we're going to have to change some legislators' minds, and that means there's going to have to be some elections run on the issue in Iowa. In New Hampshire, it hasn't passed yet because, again, the people of New Hampshire are really upset. This is being done to please the base of the Democratic Party. It is not the priority of the people of Vermont. And we are generating thousands of phone calls to Governor Lynch, working with a local group called the Cornerstone Policy Institute. He held a press conference last week where he said don't try to call him. You can't get through. He's completely overwhelmed with phone calls from people telling him to live up to his promises and to veto this bill. So it's been more than a week. He hasn't said what he's going to do yet, but we know we're generating a lot of resistance, and again, we will make sure that these politicians who are doing this against the will of the people, that they hear from their constituents if they proceed down this path. In Maine, again, you have a case where the politicians are aware that we're going to get this on the ballot, so they could please their base by saying yes to this push. And we're probably going to be able to overturn it in Maine. But this is not happening. This is orchestrated. This is what you need to know. This is not happening because there's some wave of popular sentiment saying we need gay marriage now. This is a well-funded, you know, competent, strategic political movement that decided to pull the trigger and push the politicians that they donate to and influence to pass gay marriage, whether the people like it or not. And what we're doing here in NAM is we're going over their heads to the people, and we're going to be fighting in all of these states. Even in Connecticut, I'm talking your off. Maybe I should pause and let you ask me something.
Well,
but there was a lot of states, and I wanted to tell you about them all.
Folks, you're going to find a link to the National Organization for Marriage under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Maggie Gallagher is president of the National Organization for Marriage, based in Princeton, New Jersey, fighting the good fight. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Maggie.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
And Maggie is also co-author of The Case for Marriage. She makes the case very well. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the hookup culture. Now, you might not know what it is. Let me just tell you, if you knew, you'd be shocked. And you will after this break. Your kids are not dating anymore. They're not going out. They're not seeing one another. They're not going steady. Your kids are hooking up. You'll find out what it means and what we can do about it when we come back from this break. Jennifer Rebecca Morris will be our guest.